This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That's better, alhamdulillah. Peace and blessings be on all of us. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And peace and blessings be upon His Messenger and all the messengers. Today we've gathered here for a very important purpose, a very significant purpose, and I am personally honored and privileged to be invited by the two charities that are involved and all the others for the appeal in our beloved and blessed land of Sham, Syria. And I pray that Allah Most High accept the efforts of all those who put in the effort to bring us here together. And I do pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring about some sort of positive result in some way or shape or form by us gathering and by us inshallah assisting and helping. In the few minutes that I have before me, I just would like to mention a few points. Syria is from the land of what we know in Arabic as Ash-Sham. Ash-Sham in Arabic refers to a few areas, few countries now, Syria, Jordan, Palestine. But Ash-Sham, Syria is a very significant part of Ash-Sham, the capital being Damascus. For me, I'm not from Syria. Like the speaker before me is from Homs. But I, in a way, consider Syria to be a second home. I lived there for about 3 years, where I studied in Damascus, traveled to many different cities. And when I returned, when people asked me, what did you learn in Syria? What books you studied? Who are the different scholars and shuyukh and ulama you studied by? And when they were asking me about all of that, I said, one simple lesson that I learned from the people of Syria, and something we all need to inculcate within us, is the amazing humbleness, humility, and the good mannerism and the good character that I saw within them. Such amazing and beautiful people in this world. And I was really serious, and I'm so serious about this. Very rarely I've seen that sort of warmth and love shown by the people, shown by the people of Syria. And why wouldn't it be? Because the land is blessed. That land, the whole area of Sham. When we look at our sacred text, the Quran and Sunnah, the Messenger of Allah, numerous texts indicate that the land is blessed. Numerous verses actually hint and allude and point to the barakah and the blessings in the land of Sham. Many. In one of the verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he was talking about Banu Israel, he said, وَلَقَدْ بَوَّأْنَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ مُبَوَّأَ صِدْقٍ. We have given Banu Israel an abode, which is an abode of truth. And Imam Ibn Kathir and many other commentators of the Quran, they say this is referring to the Bilal al-Sham. And if you look at the hadiths of the Messenger, peace and blessings be upon him, there are hadiths or prophetic narrations and statements that encourage Muslims to migrate and make hijrah to Ash-Sham before the final hour. There's actually books written on this topic. There is a book, Al-I'lam bi-sanni al-hijrati ila Ash-Sham, by a great Imam Muhaddith al-Bukhari, to inform people that before the final hour comes, people should migrate in Sunnah, to migrate in the blessed land of Ash-Sham. In the Mustadrak of Al-Imam Al-Hakim, a very famous, renowned collection of hadith, and this is a rigorously authenticated hadith, the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, he said, Ash-Sham safwatullahi min biladihi. Ash-Sham is the chosen land of Allah. يَسُوقُ إِلَيْهَا صَفْوَةُ عِبَادِهِ. Allah takes to those lands those who He chooses. It's a chosen land, and the people who are taken there are the chosen people of God. مَنْ خَرَجَ إِلَى الشَّامِ إِلَى غَيْرِهَا فَبِسَخَطِهِ. The ones who leave Asham and go elsewhere, this does not mean it's sinful, but it's in a context, then they go with the displeasure of God. وَمَنْ دَخَلَهَا فَبِرَحْمَتِهِ. And the ones who enter Asham, they enter with the mercy of Allah. In the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, he said, طُوبَ لِلشَّامِ. Glad tidings be for Asham. And then when he was asked, Ya Rasulullah, walima, why? He said, إِنَّ مَلَائِكَةَ الرَّحْمَانِ تَصِفَةٌ أَجْنِحَتَهَا عَلَيْهَا. Because the angels of the All Merciful, they are spreading their wings in protecting the people of Sham and over the Sham. Imam al-Tirmidhi in his Sunan, he says, he quotes the hadith where the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, he said, إِذَا فَسَدَ أَهْلُ الشَّامِ فَلَا خَيْرَ فِيكُمْ. When there's corruption in the people of Asham, there is no good in you as an ummah. إِذَا فَسَدَ أَهْلُ الشَّامِ. And it starts from the government. It starts from the government. Corruption comes by the people who are in charge and who are in authority. We know Damascus, which has been the capital of Muslims for when we had the Khilafah, it was one of the capitals of the Muslims and a central city in Syria. We know and we believe in the hadith that the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, he said that, and this is the belief of the Muslims, that Isa bin Maryam, Jesus, peace be upon him, يَنْزِلُ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ عِنْدَ الْمَنَارَةِ الْبَيْضَاءِ شَرْقِيَّ دِمَشْقِ. Isa bin Maryam will descend by the white minaret on the eastern side of Damascus. Whichever, we don't know which mosque, but it's on the eastern side. And there's many, many, you know, the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, he mentioned to one companion, Muawiyah bin Hanifa, he said to him, he asked him, I want to move somewhere, where shall I move? He said, he pointed out with his hands, he said, Hahuna. And he pointed, وَلَحَا بِيَدِهِ نَحْوَ الشَّامِ. He pointed towards the Sham and he said, this way, go there, that's where you should live. And even the companions, radiallahu anhum, may Allah be pleased with them, many of them, they said, move to Sham. Some moved themselves, many companions. They istawtanu Sham. They made Sham and Damascus specifically their hometown. Sayyidina Bilal, radiallahu anhum, mu'adhinu Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who used to give the adhan and the call to prayer for the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, and for the Muslim. After the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world, he migrated to Asham and he's buried there in Asham and in Syria, in Damascus specifically. And Abdullah ibn Umm Maktoum and Dihya al-Kalbi, one of the great companions, when Jibreel, peace and blessings be upon him, would descend, he would come in the form of Dihya al-Kalbi. He was Dihya al-Kalbi al-Mizzi. He's from a place called Mezza, right now on the outskirts of Damascus. For that time, it was a different city altogether, but now, as you all know, it goes from Syria. It's together, and it's buried there, the graveyards there. So, it's an amazing place. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, made dua. He also said, Allahumma barik lana fi shamina. Allahumma barik lana fi yamanina. Allah, bless us in our sham. Bless us in our yam. And this is the reason why, as I was saying, many companions, they migrated, they made the Sham, Damascus, their home. Khalid ibn al-Walid, Sayyidun min Suyufillah, he was the one who conquered Hims. He's buried, there's a masjid, if you see, Jami' Khalid ibn al-Walid, in Hims, where I visited, I stayed in Hims for a few days. Harab, an amazing, unique place. And it's a place where many great scholars of the Muslim Ummah lived, taught, traveled. If you see, just read the history of Asham, many great imams, we said the Sahara, but besides the companions, many pious, righteous Muslims, they traveled to Asham and they lived there. Great historians, Ibn Asakir, who wrote the whole history of Damascus in about 80 volumes, Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he used to live there, Imam al-Dahabi. And the great Imam al-Nawawi, He was from Noah. Noah, as you know, is on the boundary, about an hour's drive from Damascus. Till today, it's called Noah. There's a Jami' called Jami' al-Nawawi. He is one of the great scholars of this Ummah. And these people taught them. It was a blessed land, and it is still a blessed land. And Muslims have been there. And this is not just for Muslims, there have been Christians there as well. It's always been a place of tranquility, of peace, of righteousness. And you see the people living there. I mean, when I was living there, I used to live, for those of you who are from Syria, in a place called Rukn-ud-Din. Today, I feel like I'm in Rukn-ud-Din again. But I used to live in Rukn-ud-Din. And I traveled. Hems, the people of Hems, subhanAllah, amazing people, Hadar. And I went to other places, that Balaqiyya, more of those places, just for a visit. Hama, one of the most unique and one of the most righteous people you can find. Places, Hama. Such beautiful people there, amazing Muslims. And even some of the non-Muslims, they just generally, the character, the attributes, the hospitality, the warmth, the love that people show. And seriously, brothers and sisters, the people of Syria do not deserve what they are deserving today. They don't deserve it. It's very sad that we have to, you know, stand here today. I mean, when I was there about 8 years ago, I could not have imagined that these things would have happened. But we all knew at that time, I mean, everybody knew, nobody could speak. You speak to anybody about the government, you know, everybody runs away a mile from you because the mukhabarat are all there, anyone just... And everybody's scared. How many people were tortured? I mean, it's right now we think they're being tortured. They've always been tortured for the past, like the speaker before me just mentioned, for the past 40, 50 years, in the 1980s, thousands and hundreds and thousands of people were slaughtered and massacred and killed in Hems, specifically in Hama. Killed. Many scholars were killed. Thousands of them. And just generally Muslims will be killed in 1980s, as you know. So it's been going on since this very brutal regime that has come and governed this blessed land. And we have to, seriously, brothers and sisters and friends, we really have to do something about this. Whatever we can do, as Muslims, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility. It's part of the faith. The Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, said, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبَّ لِنَفْسِهِ. One of you cannot even be a complete mu'min, believer, until you do not like for your fellow Muslim brother or sister, or you don't like for yourself. And in this hadith he said Muslim, but this is not specific to Muslims. In another hadith of Musnad of Imam Ahmad, the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَحِبَّ لِلنَّاسِ مَا تُحِبَّ لِنَفْسِكَ لَا يَبْلُغُ الْعَبْدُ حَقِيقَةَ الْإِيمَانِ حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِلنَّاسِ مَا يُحِبَّ لِنَفْسِهِ. One cannot achieve and acquire the reality of Iman. You can't be a complete Muslim and believer until you don't like for humanity, لِلنَّاسِ, what you like for your own self. If someone thinks that they are a believer and they have no concern for humanity and for the Muslim Ummah, then this person's Iman is not complete. He's not a complete believer. This is what this hadith is saying. A Muslim cannot be a believer just by praying or fasting and just worrying about his own self or herself. In order to be, it shows that there's deficiency. If someone is a Muslim and does not have concern in the heart for humanity, this shows that there is deficiency in the Iman. Iman is not complete. And we have been ordered and encouraged in numerous texts of the Quran and Sunnah that we have to have this concern, have rahmah and mercy in the heart. The Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him, what did he say? He said, مَنْ فَرَّجَ عَنْ مُسْلِمٍ كُرْبَةً مِنْ كُرْبِ الدُّنْيَا فَرَّجَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ كُرْبَةً مِنْ كُرْبِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. You alleviate, you remove one hardship, one difficulty from one believer, Allah will remove the difficulty and hardship of the next life. وَاللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدُ مَنْ كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِيهِ. Allah is in the assistance of his slave as long as that slave is in the assistance and help of his fellow Muslim brothers or sister or anyone of humanity. And numerous hadiths that point to this fact. So we have a duty, seriously, and this is just a reminder, brothers and sisters. We know, we've seen, I mean, it's very sad that when there is coverage in the media, we all have this himmah and zeal that we want to do something. When the media is quiet, right now the media is quiet. They made a bit of fuss, bit of noise, because they had to. Where's the media? But we don't hear anything about Syria anymore. We don't hear as much as we used to. And this is where we need constant reminders. Like the speaker before me said, he just returned. He just returned from Syria. And the graphic nature, the graphic details of things that are happening on the ground. Women, men, children, people are being slaughtered, limbs are being cut. Some of the images that I'm sure many of you must have seen, I saw myself, it's just unbearable. You can't even view it. There was that one image that I saw, and after 10 seconds, I had to turn my face away. It's just, you can't imagine a human being, whoever that human may be, even if it's the greatest zalim and oppressor on planet Earth, but if he's a human, you can't imagine any human doing that. It's just inconceivable. How could a human being, even animals don't do some of the things which these tyrant brutal rulers are doing. We've gone beyond the level of animals. Some of the images, you just think to yourself, how can, in their right frame, you must be crazy, or you must be something mad with your brain or something that you can do this to fellow human beings. How can you even have a heart to oppress them in this way? Regardless of whatever differences people have. Regardless, seriously. And that's why what I'm saying, that we need constant reminders. The media will stop coverage. We need reminders. We need to keep on helping, assisting. Assisting and helping starts with dua. We need to make a lot of dua. And then we need to help and assist our fellow Muslim brothers and sisters, and even the non-Muslims who are living in Syria, but the people of Syria. And everywhere else in the world, but we are focusing on Syria. We need to help and assist them in any way, shape, or form. Medicines, food, drink, accommodation. And this is our duty as Muslims. We give zakat, and beyond we need to give zakat. The Messenger of Allah, there's a hadith where actually the two angels made the dua and they said, Allahumma a'ti munfiqan khalafa. Allahumma a'ti munsikan talafa. O Allah, the one who gives in charity donates, compensate for his wealth. And the one who withholds, take away his wealth. Ma naqasat sadaqatun bimal. Sadaqah and charity never decreases wealth, brothers and sisters. You know what that means? It may decrease, apparently, it may seem to us that it's decreasing. Yes, you give £10, yes. You have 20, it's 10. But what does this mean? This means the barakah and blessings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty, will give us so much blessings in the remaining 10 that we will actually benefit in the 10 as we would have benefited with the 20. That's the meaning of naqasah. It never decreases. We are able to benefit in the same way. And more, Allah increases. يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. Allah increases sadaqah, charity. And it's not our wealth as it is. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُ يُنْفِقُونَ. It's what we've given you, you're spending, Allah says. We don't own it. The human doesn't own his money. It's what Allah has given us. What Allah has given us, what God has given us, we give it to other people. And people are in need. We are relaxing in this country right now. SubhanAllah. We are enjoying our time. Look at the beautiful weather. A lot of people are enjoying. We have food, we have drink. We need to seriously think about these people. Make dua for them. Amazing places and amazing lands. And so many, you must have heard a lot of the stories or incidents that are taking place, but it's very sad, very sad. I mean, it's a place that if there is khayr, like the hadith, the Messenger of Allah said, إِذَا فَسَدَ أَهْلُ الشَّامِ فَلَا خَيْرَ فِيكُمْ. If there's corruption in the people of the Sham, then there's no good in you. You can take the opposite meaning. If there's good in them, then there's good in everyone else on in the world. And there is good there, seriously. There is so much barakah, there is so much blessing, so much righteousness, so much piety. You see people, men, women, children, you know, amazing righteousness and piety that you find, which I rarely saw anywhere else. The elderly people, the righteousness and the piety and the families they bring up, the way they bring up their children, amazing tarbiyah, on good character, on good mannerism, in hospitality. And great scholars there, unfortunately one of my teachers who was there, which he didn't mention, Sheikh Usama Arifa'i, who I studied with and I spent a lot of time with him. He was unfortunately, sadly, he was injured in one of the incidents last year. The army, or you know, the people of the regime, they went to his masjid after Salat al-Jumu'ah, and there were people making peaceful demonstrations after Salat al-Jumu'ah, and they came and desecrated the mosque, the masjid, the house of Allah. Again, anyone, whether they're Muslims or non-Muslims, or anyone of faith, intentionally, they say we're Muslims, intentionally, deliberately, doing that to the house of Allah, it's inconceivable. And the Sheikh had ended up in hospital. And there are many other scholars who are targeted, one by one. And anyone who, you know, just believes in Allah, wants to be a good righteous Muslim, wants freedom, wants his or her rights. And it's our job that we need to assist and help our fellow Muslims and the people of Syria, inshaAllah ta'ala. We need to have this rahmah and mercy. This will only happen, brothers and sisters, if we have this quality of mercy. It's an amazing quality, but we have to bring that. The greatest individual who had that quality was the Messenger of Allah, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Rahmatan lil alameen, wa ma'arasanaka wa rahmatan lil alameen. Now we have to bring that quality. Ar-Rahimun yirhamhum ar-Rahman. Irhamu man fil ard, yirhamku man fil sama. The hadith says, have mercy on the people of the earth. Allah will have mercy on you. So this is very important. We need to have mercy, inshaAllah. And if we do have, we bring that quality in our hearts, then inshaAllah, we do whatever we can do. In any way, shape, or form, even a small amount makes a difference. Even a small amount. People, they feel it's difficult, but even a small amount, Allah looks at the, not the quantity. Quantity is good, it's needed, if you have it, alhamdulillah. But the quality is very important. The niyyah, the intention, the sincerity, the genuineness, and the real concern in the heart. That's what Allah looks at. And we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring peace to the lands of Asham. And we make dua, Allahumma farrij an ikhwanina fi bilad al-Sham. Allahumma farrij an ikhwanina fi bilad al-Sham. Allahumma ansurhum, ya Rabb al-Alameen. Allahumma ansurhum, Allahumma ansurhum. Allahumma farrij anhum, ya Arham al-Rahimeen, ya Qawiyyu, ya Aziz. Make dua, Allah, we ask that you bring peace and tranquility, you remove the hardships and difficulties from the land of Asham, from our brothers and sisters. Allahumma farrij anhum, Allahumma farrij anhum. اللهم فرج عن إخواننا في كل مكان اللهم عليك بالظالمين اللهم عليك بالظالمين الكافرين اللهم عليك بالظالمين الظلمة اللهم شتت شملهم اللهم مزق جمعهم اللهم شتت شملهم اللهم مزق جمعهم اللهم عليك بهم يا قوي يا عزيز اللهم ارحم على إخواننا في بلاد الشام اللهم ارحم على الشيخ الكبير اللهم ارحم على الطفل الصغير اللهم ارحم على الأم الرضيع اللهم انصرهم يا رب العالمين اللهم إنا نسألك أن تعين إخواننا وأن تنصرهم وأن ترحم عليهم يا رب العالمين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم آمين والحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين جزاك الله خير السلام عليكم ورحمة الله